Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan
with insurancebroker.ie
on News Talk.
Parents face growing pressure as smartphones become a major part of our children's lives. Research from Fianna Fáil shows that over 35% of children receive a smartphone between the ages of 11 and 13. Yet only 18% of parents feel equipped to manage online risks. So the gap, I suppose, highlights the need for better support for families. As technology use rises, parents kind of need to find ways to manage that screen time and online safety, while society and schools can help reduce the pressure to provide smartphones simply because everyone else has one. We know that line. Clear guidance, open conversations and shared community standards can empower parents and families to make confident, informed decisions. I'm joined on the line by Philip Arnell, Head of Education and Innovation at CyberSafe Kids. Philip, are you surprised by these numbers, first of all?
First of all, good afternoon, and thanks for having us on. Not really, no, to be honest. I mean, we report annually in our trends and usage report, very similar kind of statistics. I mean, it's great to see this kind of political attention now being directed more and more towards kids and what they're doing in the online world. But I think it also reflects a little bit this kind of fixation that we tend to have on smartphones. You know, what we know already is that 8 to 12-year-olds in primary school, 93% of them have their own smart device. And we tend to focus a lot on smartphones. And obviously, smartphones have a mobility that other things don't. But the reality is, you know, 8 to 12-year-olds, 62% of them have a tablet, 53% have a games console, and then nearly 40% of them have smartphones already. And that's, you know, that's in primary school. When they get into secondary school, what we tend to see is this jump in the smartphone use. And so obviously then, you know, in terms of supervision and monitoring, it's a lot more difficult if your child has a smartphone and they're going outside the house. But I think what we've also got to think about in terms of more generally the approach is this digital environment, you know, because actually all those three types of devices, regardless of whether it's a smartphone or not, give you access to potentially harmful content and harmful contact. And I think that's really where the parenting, the digital parenting angle has to come in, regardless of what device the content's being accessed on.
Yeah, I think you make a good point, Philip, that, you know, the exposure to violent or inappropriate content, be it diet culture, misogyny, racism, whatever it might be, isn't exclusive to a phone. And I think we can kind of get hung up on the actual device itself rather than considering that children can access this on various other screens, possibly around the house.
Absolutely. Look, I mean, I often use the analogy of a car. You know, a car is a great thing. You can have wonderful times in it. You can also have horrendous times. And, you know, there are rules and restrictions and various norms around driving and things that have to be put in place before someone is allowed to take a car out in the road on their own. And it's exactly the same with devices. You know, it's over like 28% of 8 to 12-year-olds told us last year that they experienced content or unsolicited content that bothered them. So that could be horror, it could be violence, sexual material, dangerous ideas like suicidal ideation. And that didn't necessarily come through smartphones. What that comes through is unsupervised and unmonitored access to the online world.
The 35%, Philip, can I ask you about that? The findings say that over 35% of children receive a smartphone between 11 and 13. Now, two of my eldest two boys are in the core of this group, right? And my experience would be that as soon as they go from sixth class into first year, that's when the majority of them, I'm talking 90-odd% of them, will get that smartphone.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that our data reflects that jump. You know, well, as I said earlier, 39% we have telling us, you know, the children telling us, 8 to 12-year-olds. Now, this is important to say, this data is coming from children, not parents, but 40% of them have a smartphone in primary school. When you get that secondary school age group, 12 to 14, it jumps to 96%. And there may be, you know, very valid reasons for that. You know, you mentioned in your intro about peer pressure. That's, of course, one. There's also, you know, children may be going further afield to get to the school that they're attending. And so there may be issues around, you know, location and safety safety as well. So that's a concern, and obviously a smartphone is a way to do that. But as I said previously, you know, once that smartphone goes out of the house, it's harder for you to monitor it. So there are ways to do that. There are ways to supervise. And again, you mentioned in your intro around sort of norms. So, you know, we would encourage parents and carers to establish those norms when it comes to that smartphone. If you're giving your child a smartphone, particularly this Christmas, we just came out a couple of weeks ago with a gadget gift guide, which is on our website. And really what that is full of advice for parents and carers. Before they buy a device, I'm conscious, you know, Black Friday's coming very quickly.
Yeah.
And a lot of people will be purchasing those kind of devices for Christmas. And there's advice in there. You know, there's alternatives to smartphones. You don't necessarily have to go fully fledged to the latest iPhone or the latest Android device. You know, and there's also guidelines around, you know, the kind of norms that you can establish within the house and also without outside the house in terms of, you know, what's allowed, what's not allowed. Can you buy things on the phone? Can you download certain types of content? Are you allowed to access certain apps and all these kind of things? So whatever the device is, it's really just the starting point. You know, it shouldn't be, okay, well, they have the device now, so
here we go. I think that's a great point. Whether they get the device or a graduated version of it, I think how it's run from the home and the rules around that. I know an expert before shared the importance of children not going to bed with the phone in the same room. So I know my two older boys now have to leave it on the landing. So it's not in a bedroom. You know, things like that I think are important. Let me bring in Avril Sheehan, mum of three. Avril, your children are 15, 12 and 7. So do they have smartphones? And if so, who does?
They do. The two girls have the phones and they were given the phones at an earlier age than most of their classmates.
Okay.
Just for the fact of safety and me being able to contact them, because I work from at home, but I'm out of the home, if that makes sense. So I needed to be able to contact them and stuff like that. Do I regret it? I absolutely do. I just think they're exposed to so much harmful content and, you know, people contacting them. But what I didn't realise at the time was, you know, they go on the PlayStation and they can communicate through the PlayStation. So I'm not one bit tech savvy, neither is my husband, but we had to become tech savvy. I think the majority of the girls and boys, actually, in my daughter's class who's making their confirmation, the parents do try and hold off until they make the confirmation and they give them the phones and it's kind of like a rite of passage. I do find with my eldest daughter, who's 15, going into secondary school, it opened up a whole new world that I wasn't aware of at all in relation to the phone. And I just remember being out with a couple of my friends and one of them said, "Have you got her pin? Do you ever check her phone?" And I'm like, no. I'm like, no, I don't. I trust her and all the rest. And they said, it'd be interesting, you know, just in general. And the majority of us never checked the phones. And I got her pin and I checked her phone and it was amazing to see, you know, conversations between other children, or, you know, the Snapchat groups and just seeing what was going on. Some of it I didn't agree with at all. And it ended up just highlighting the dangers that were being brought to her by no fault of her own.
Mm-hmm.
So we actually sat down with her and instead of arguing and saying, oh, put up the phone or turn off the phone or, you know, come off the phone, we decided we'd sit down with her. We'd make a contract. We'd let her sit on that contract for an hour, come back to the table. Something that you didn't agree with or agree with, you know, let's discuss it. So we were after putting the time, you know, that at 11 o'clock, the phone goes off, turns off, and it's not turned back on then until 8 o'clock in the morning. And we have the parental right to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So we do that. And then also that I can check her phone at any given time, up to 3 times a week, by just going to her saying, hand over your phone. And it's immediate handover. It's not, I'll bring it up to you in a few minutes, mom. It's there and then, because you just have to keep on top of it. You really do. There's an awful lot of like bullying going on between these Snapchats and you just really have to keep on top of it. And of course, I guess you're mean and
you're
the
only mom who does
this. Yeah. And you're mean. And why are you doing this to me? But it's kind of like, I'm not here to be your friend. I'm here to advise you and put you on the right road and to do the best you can. But I see with my younger daughter, the 12-year-old, like just content, you know, she's getting up in the morning 30 minutes earlier, you know, to do the hair or to use the Slickbacks products, you know, and just she's so much more aware of body image and everything. It's actually scary.
It's incredible how self-aware they are and how well-groomed they are. And social media obviously plays a huge role in that. But you're having open conversations. Like, I've joined some of those platforms. You mentioned Snapchat, just to monitor my kids. I mean, I have no interest in being on it for myself, for my own profile. But I do that, and I'm open about that, and I let them know that I'm just there to watch what they're doing, because they're still children.
Absolutely, Anna. And like that, last October, I just remember my niece, who's 17, she had passed a comment about something she saw on the internet, you know, and I said, you should believe everything you see on the internet. And I started posting like that on an Instagram account. I set up an account and I put on a beautiful dress, took a photograph, and everyone was like, oh, gorgeous dress I have, blah, blah, blah. And next thing, the next post I put up was the back of the dress, and the back of the dress wouldn't even tie up on me. And I was like, I'm trying to prove to my girls and be a positive influence. Don't believe everything you see on the internet. Now, I'm not tech savvy. As I say, I'm learning as I'm going, being honest with you. But like, the dangers of AI and everything, it's absolutely frightening.
But I love that you're sharing that reality, and I think we need to see more of that, you know, Instagram versus reality stuff. Let me bring in David. David is on the line. David, you're a leader in the Scouts. Can you tell me what you see kind of day to day with the Scouts? In terms of phone usage, David?
Yeah, it's almost like a drug. That's the easiest way to describe it.
Really?
We now have a policy, if we have overnight activities, whereby the phones are taken off them, and they get them back at the end of a day, I'd say about 7, half 7, and then they're taken back off them at 10 or half 10 in the evening. They are not to have them at night. Yes. We have handed back phones to parents at the end of activities, where little Jimmy has a phone, but they don't know about the other phone that he has that he's playing with under the bed at 2 o'clock in the morning. So you see, the way that I speak to the parents is this: you would not give them a bottle of vodka and send them to their room and tell them, now be careful with that.
Yeah.
We're doing the very same thing with phones. There is no need for a phone. If a parent is worried about, you know, Jimmy missing the bus home from school or something else, there are other devices which do not give them the same level of access to the internet. If they want to give them a dumb phone that will take a text to say the bus is late or they missed the train or whatever else, there are ways around that. Giving them a phone at 10 and 11 and 12 years of age is just wrecking their heads.
And David, can I ask you, what age group are you referring to here? Are they the 10 and 11-year-olds?
11 to about 15.
Okay.
Right? Now, at about 15, they're kind of coming out at the end of it. I can take researchers an example later on. We brought the Scouts years ago to Germany, to Cologne. Right? Now, I don't know whether you've ever been to Cologne, but right smack bang in the middle of it is a beautiful 1,000-year-old cathedral. It's absolutely huge.
Mm.
Right? We used that as our meeting point and main assembly. There were leaders there so that the Scouts could go off on their own and come back for an hour and so on and so on. None of them went into it because they found a McDonald's around the corner that had a 3-pin Irish plug where they could charge their phones. And most of them sat in there like drug addicts over the thing trying to get 10 minutes charged so they could play a game or upgrade their Snapchat. And all you saw was pictures of gangs of them sitting in the McDonald's. They might
looking
as well have been sitting in Grafton Street. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, last year, we were very strict on the policy. And what we noticed after a couple of days was they weren't looking for them at 7 o'clock. They were more interested in finishing their chores for the day. And I want to go off and play the football with Anna and Peter and so
brilliant.
On.
Brilliant. Yeah, they were thinking about activities because they're distracted.
Yeah,
I'm going to bring in, David, sorry, just before we run out of time on this, host of the Opinions Matter podcast, Katie Mack is on the line. Katie, your daughter's only 5, but you make the point that you can see addiction starting early.
Hi, Anna. Yeah, it's actually terrifying. She can operate my phone better than I can. And that's actually my own fault because obviously I've left her when we're in the car. You know, she'll say, can I watch a video? Or she'll start getting kind of bored, so I'll give her the phone. So I actually had to go back and kind of say, no, you're not. So instead she can bring a book or a magazine or something with her in the car now, because she could open my pattern on my phone, get to YouTube and watch videos. And some of the videos, and it's only when you're sitting there kind of listening, because a lot of parents don't actively listen, and I'm guilty of it myself, but you hear inappropriate content. So there was one video she was watching one day. No, it was aimed at kids. It was a kid's video, but it was one child calling another child a fatty, which is like, you know. And then I started hearing her using that word calling her brother, "Oh, you're a fatty," or calling the kids down the road, because she thinks that this is funny or that it's normal. And I was kind of like, oh my God. And this was on, like I said, a video that was actually aimed at children. So I've had to cut right back. And, you know, I do think that a lot of the time it is, and probably if I'm being brutally honest here, a lot of the time it's easier to just hand them the iPad or the phone, because it gives you, you know, time to kind of cook or clean.
Oh,
or
look,
put on
we've
a watch.
All done it, Katie. Let's be honest. We've all needed to buy a bit of time, you know,
and
whether you're working from home, trying to get jobs done. Like, that is real life.
And I still do it, but I'm far more conscious now of the time I'm letting her spend on it and what she's watching. I was over in a friend's house the other evening, and I'm sure my friend won't mind me saying this if she's listening, and she was putting her six-year-old to bed. And she gave her six-year-old the iPad to go up to bed with, to fall asleep with. And I was like, are you actually crazy? And she's like, oh, it's only YouTube Kids, it's only YouTube Kids. And even if it is only YouTube Kids, it's such a bad habit to get into. And like I said, it is, I think, down a lot of the time to lazy parenting. Parents who just, they couldn't be arsed entertaining their children. So what I'm trying to do now more at home is like painting and baking, and if it's nice out, getting them out on the bikes or the scooters or the rollerblades.
Of course.
And you
never regret any of those activities, Katie. You're absolutely right. And thank you for being so honest as well. That's Katie Mack. Avril Sheehan, thank you. I love your contract idea for the phone, by the way. We have David, the Scouts leader, thrilled to hear children still in the Scouts. Isn't that lovely? And Philip Arneil from CyberSafe Kids, where they have lots of tips on that website as well, as Philip mentioned.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.